Good morning. It's very good to see all of you, to be here with so many of our friends. Victoria and I are very blessed to be here and just are very honored to call all of you friends. Also thankful for my family and for them coming out today. So let me just fire this up. All right, so this morning I'm starting the message on the premise of that God has so much more for us than just coping at life, at what life throws at us every day. He intends for us to thrive, not just merely survive going through the day. And I know that God longs for us to live each day and with that awareness and being fully alive to Him. A verse that Dale often quotes is in Psalms 118:4, where it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And that speaks of being intentional about rejoicing, being intentional about being glad in each day and not just passing off each day lightly. So, and also, one of the things I want to start with is God has built all of us with a certain amount of capacity. If we're good at one thing, that probably means we're not as good in some other areas. We don't have unlimited focus. And so the things that we think about each day are important because if we're spending all of our time thinking about, for instance, how to advance our business, we're not going to be able to see the needs around us. We won't be able to focus on reaching a homeless person or, you know, if we spend a lot of time thinking about government politics, we're not going to have as much time to think about the kingdom of God and, you know, what God's up to in His kingdom. And by the way, no matter who's in charge at the White House, their agenda is completely different than ours. We're in the kingdom of God, and God has a whole different agenda for His kingdom. And I think it does work better if we don't confuse the two. So, for our first scripture reading, I want everyone to turn their chairs to Matthew 6:24. Actually, do get up, look under your chair, and see if there's a paper taped to your chair. All right, so you have one? Good. So if you have a paper under your chair or if there's an empty chair beside you, make sure to look at that. And if you have a paper under your chair, then we'll read it in order, starting with verse 24. So if you have the number 24, this is in Matthew 6, verse 24 to 34. Does anyone have 24? All right, in the back. Sure, go ahead. All right, 25.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?
All right. 26. All right, 28. Twenty-nine? Thank you. And I'm sorry, 30. Okay, no one has 31, I guess. So I'll just read it here. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? And verse 32. All right, 33. 34. All right, thank you all. So today really is all we have. We really can't ensure that anything's going to happen in the future, and we certainly can't change anything that happened in the past, right? Everyone agree with that? So, and I think it's easy for us, though, to think that today doesn't really matter. You know, the space of time that we're in doesn't matter. And it's also easy for us to think that someday in the future, everything's going to somehow come together, and then it's going to be perfect, and then we're going to love it. While in reality, if we're not taking those small steps, and I appreciate what Dill was saying this morning, if we're not taking those small steps each day toward God and toward what he has for us, nothing really is going to happen. So here's some things that are easy for us to think don't matter today. What we think about, how we spend our time, what we listen to, watch, and read, what we eat, how we perform in our workplaces, how we treat others around us, and whether we're intentional about sharing the gospel with those around us. Those are all things that look small at the moment. You know, in today, it might seem like it doesn't matter, but over time, all the things grow into something so much bigger. And I think also, if we're not intentional about putting on the whole armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6:11, then we're not ready for those attacks that come from Satan in our day. So if we imagine this being in the morning, and this being in the middle of the day, and this being in the evening, so we're in the morning, we're thinking, okay, wow. We're thinking, okay, I know I need to do something, but I'll do it tomorrow. So then we go through the day, and soon it's evening time, and the day is done. And the next morning, oh, I'm sorry, this isn't working. And the next morning, where are we? Can anyone say? Yeah. Right, we're in today. Tomorrow, actually, is there a problem with it? Whoa. Sorry, guys, I don't normally play drums, but that's my best attempt. So tomorrow really never comes. You know, we only have the space of time that we're in right now. And I know, you know, some people have said that today is God's day, tomorrow is Satan's day. There actually is a lot of truth to that, because the things that we push off, the things that we don't take action on that God would have for us to do, often tomorrow becomes never. In Psalms 139:15, it says, "You have watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Of course, God knows how many days we have. We don't. And he has a lot of intention about every day. He specifically has measured out every day of our life before we were even born. Isn't that amazing? And then in Psalms 90, verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So I think in numbering our days, if we realize how short our life is, we apply our heart to wisdom, to learning, to being intentional about walking with God in every day. How many of you think this past year went by fast for you? All right, so multiply that by 70, and most of us probably won't be here. That's a short time. It really is like a puff of smoke, as James 4:14 says, like a puff of smoke that appears for a short time and then vanishes. So my wife shared with me in a book that she's been reading called The Miracle Morning, where Hal Elrod describes it this way: who you're becoming is far more important than what you're doing, and yet it is what you're doing that is determining who you are becoming. Your entire life changes the day that you decide you will no longer accept lukewarmness for yourself. When you decide that day is the most important day of your life, that now matters more than any other time, because it's who you're becoming each day based on the choices that you're making and actions that you're taking that determine who you're going to be the rest of your life. Our life is made up of a whole bunch of what? And today's. It's a whole bunch of today's. We're always living, and I think we all know this, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it. We're always living in the present. You know, we're in this space of time, and literally right now, you know, you're choosing to sit here, which is nice, because you could choose to walk out. And after we're done here, you'll never be able to make that choice again for the past. But anyway, here's four areas to focus on that I thought about that we should be focusing on daily. And the first one is spending time with our Father and building our dependence on Him. So I know God has been teaching me just to spend time and actually receive from Him. One of the things that He's been showing me, like in the last, I would say it started about half a year ago, is every time that I've been praying, He's been giving me this vision of Him just holding me and just wanting to spend time with me. And it has been really amazing. But He longs for us to build our dependence on Him. In James 4:13, James said, "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town, and we'll stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know that what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it." So what he's saying is we should be living our life in such a way that we're dependent on Christ, that we know we can't do anything without Him. And really, you know, we can make our plans, but God directs our steps. He's really the one that's in charge. And He, like we were saying earlier, He's already numbered our days. And we don't know that we have tomorrow. And then also from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 9 to 12, Jesus taught us how to pray, and He said, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive our sins. Forgive us our sins." So there again, it's that daily dependence of knowing we need Christ. We can't even get through the day without him providing what we need. And that's not always, for us, that's not always food. But I think God wants us to stop and really think about our dependence on him each day and acknowledging him. So the second area that I want to look into is repenting and then moving on from sin and guilt. So in Hebrews 3:7-8, it says, this is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. And there again, you know, it's a very strong emphasis. If you see something today, take action. If you see something in your life, if you see a sin or something that has been dragging you down, take action on it today. And God wants to forgive you and remove that sin, that failure, as far as the east is from the west. That's what God wants to do. But we have to be intentional in recognizing it and repenting and not just pushing that off. And then I think also, you know, when we're kind of like dragging the sins and the failures of our past with us, it's kind of like we could leave it in the past. We could repent. God could remove it as far as the east is from the west, but sometimes we choose to carry it. And then we drag it, like coming into each day, we're still dragging this, you know? And we're bringing the past into today. God really wants for his mercies to be new in our life every morning, every day, that we're experiencing that, that we don't need. I've often thought, you know, we should be having revival meetings in our hearts on a daily basis. I really believe that's God's desire for us. Not that we become saved and then we're, you know, backing right back into where we were before, and then somebody, you know, preaches a message and now we're over here again and now we're backing up. You know, I don't think that's what God has designed for his children. But Jesus was very graceful or with the people that he talked with. You know, when the woman that was caught in adultery, she was sorry for what she had done. And Jesus spoke freedom. He said, go and sin no more. And by extension, I think what he was saying is, leave what you were doing in the past, accept my forgiveness, and move on. Move into the future and what I have for you. And then the third area is speaking into the lives of those around us. I think God wants us to be intentional with that every day. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. How many of us have ever been deceived by something? It looked good, and it wasn't. And here he's saying we must warn each other every day while it is still today. And then verse 14 says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So I think often we think, well, we have more time to speak into each other's lives. I see something in someone, and you know, but hey, I can deal with that later. That's not always the case. Even as I was preparing this message, a local programmer that our company has worked with quite a bit, and I actually just talked to him a few weeks ago, passed away suddenly. He was in his 40s. They were driving along. He said he wasn't feeling well, and so they pulled over, and he passed away like right away, just like that. And the thing that hit me the hardest in that moment is, a few weeks ago when we were working on a project, he was doing some programming for a project that I was working on. It wasn't coming together. And I spoke more harshly to him than what I would have needed to, and even though things weren't coming together. And so I think we never know when our last opportunity is. to talk with somebody. As the old song goes that many of us know, give me the roses while I live. How many of you know that song? Okay, that's one we used to sing a lot as a family. It says, give me the roses while I live, trying to cheer me on. Useless are flowers that you give after the soul has gone. It's pretty useless. And so we need to take those opportunities that we have, that God has given us in each day, and be intentional in speaking life and warning each other, as that verse says. And then the fourth area is forgiving those that hurt us. In Matthew 5:23, Jesus said, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So imagine if every time that we worship, there would be a time given, you know, where, hey, I mean, if there's something, you have something against someone else, or you know that they're holding something against you because of what you've done, instead of going on with worship, we're going to stop. We're going to say, okay, let's give you time to go and deal with that. And that speaks of, Jesus was saying, do it today. You know, he was saying, don't wait. Go make that right first, and then come back and offer your service, your sacrifice to God. So, for example, if I told Steve King, our gazebos are better than yours, and so he got offended. He's not here this morning. I wanted to do that too. But and he got offended, you know, and I know that. I should go and make that right. You know, I should, if I know that he's holding something, I should go and make that right. So I was thinking this morning what we could do before we move on is if we all could just close our eyes, think about the people in your life, past, that were there in the past, maybe some that you don't see, and just ask God if there's anything there, anyone that you need to forgive, and being intentional about doing something. So we'll take just a minute to do that. Here's another thing while you're processing that. If you're not sure if you've totally forgiven someone or not, if they were to die today, would you wish that you would have gone and made some things right with them? So if you've thought about anyone in your reflections, if God has revealed that to you, do something today. Don't wait. And make sure that that happens where you make things right with them. In Luke 17:3-4, Jesus said, so watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times in a day, and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. And I think he was not only saying if they ask for forgiveness, I think he was saying we actually need to do that each day anyway. I know that was the heart of Christ, because people don't always ask us for forgiveness. Now, imagine 7 times in a day, every day. How would that work? That's a lot of times. And every time he's coming back and saying, will you forgive me? How many of us, after about 5 times, would say, why don't you get it together? You know, what? Let's go. And yet Jesus said, even 7 times in a day, we are to forgive. Here's another one in Ephesians 4:26, verse 27. He said, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I think if we're angry at anyone, at people in the church, our family, our spouse, like to just push it off and say, well, we're going to go to bed, sleep over, it'll get better in the morning. That's not what Scripture is saying here. We should be so intentional, if we know that we've hurt somebody today, that we go back and we ask for forgiveness, and that we don't go to bed angry, because what it says here is that anger gives a foothold to the devil, and that's so true. So in conclusion, tomorrow is often the greatest enemy of growing today, because we think we can push it off until tomorrow. What are the things that we need to be intentional about in our lives today? Maybe it's relationships in our family, or becoming a person that cares enough about others that are perishing to share the good news with them in each day, the people that we meet. Our life really is like a painting, and every day is like another brush stroke that's on that canvas. And after a while, the picture becomes a little bit more clear, but the finished product comes as a result of each day. And if we're looking at that painting, we like what we see, that's great. I'm sure that God has things that we can all be more intentional with in each day. But if we want that painting to be different in the future, guess what we need to do? Every day, we need to make intentional changes today, in each day, so that the future is going to be different. And I want to encourage all of us to take the opportunities that God has given us today. You know, today, if we see an opportunity to bless somebody, to lift someone up today, let's not let the past or worries about the future rob us. I love what Zig Ziglar often said, that, you know, so many people spend, you know, when they're at home, they're worrying about their job. When they're at their job, they're worrying about what's going on at home. And I think what God wants for us all to do is to be more intentional with where we're at, to be present, to be in the moment. And may the Holy Spirit reveal to each one of us what God has for us today. I think that's all that I have. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing that. And the reality of the truths that were spoken of, the importance that we have today.